There's an old evangelical chorus which goes, "Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specialises in things thought impossible. He can do what no other can do." Well, if there's anyone listening today who has never encountered a problem which they have found impossible to solve, you're truly exceptional. So today, may I refer you to one of those seemingly impossible situations. The Israelites needed to get to the promised land which God said they could have. It was something he'd promised them 40 years previously, and they were now in sight of this land, flowing with milk and honey. On the way, God had parted the River Jordan so they could cross into the land, but to get to the hill country, they needed to pass through the fortified city of Jericho. The problem for the Israelites, of course, was that the citizens of Jericho didn't want to be conquered. In fact, the summit of Canaan's central ridge is 12 to 50 miles west of the plain of Jericho and elevated 2/3 of a mile above it. The ascent is so steep and often precipitous, so to ascend it by force is unthinkable, except along the valley approaches, which have always provided the paths of movement into the hill country. If this was obvious to invaders, it was doubly so to the country's defenders, who built fortified cities both at the head of such passes into the hills and near the outlets onto the plains. Jericho was such a guardian fortress, it was necessary, therefore, that this roadblock was reduced before Israel could advance to the hill country. The inhabitants of the walled city of Jericho, in anticipation of attack, had closed and barred its gates. Verse 1 reads, "It was shut up from within and from without. No one was allowed in or out." It's not that Jericho was a large city. In fact, it totaled only about 8 to 9 acres, so marching round it wouldn't take that long under normal circumstances, probably no more than 15 minutes. But the people of Jericho had stationed archers on the top of the walls, so to march around the city at a safe distance, the Israelites would need to have taken probably twice as long. The people of Jericho were not about to have their land conquered without putting up a spirited fight. So, how would God resolve this problem? Parting the sea was a truly miraculous event, but here we find the Israelites sitting ducks for the archers unless they kept their distance. But God had a plan. But firstly, he needed Joshua, their leader, to listen to it. In chapter 5, verses 13 to 15, we read, "When Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, 'Are you for us or from our enemies?' 'Neither,' he replied, 'but as commander of the Lord's army, I have now come.' Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, 'What message does my Lord have for his servant?' The commander of the Lord's army replied, 'Take off your sandals, for the place on which you're standing is holy ground.' And Joshua did so and learned from God, 'See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands.' And Joshua was given the master plan that he must follow." As we read the details, we might wonder what on earth marching round the city for 6 days and on the 7th day blowing a long blast on the trumpet and shouting was all about when the archers were ready if they came within range. But Joshua accepted the plan and he ordered the people to advance. And with the armed guard at the head of the procession, followed by the Ark of the Covenant, signalling the presence of God, Joshua followed the details to the letter. The Jericho defenders were in no doubt something was afoot, because the priests were blowing trumpets, it said in verse 9. But the Israelites all obeyed Joshua's instructions that they were not to give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. Do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. Then shout. So for 6 days they did this and returned to camp and spent the night there. Those are, to say the least, unusual battle plans. But as we read, on that seventh day, it all happened just as Joshua had been told that it would. I'm sure that human nature of some of the Israelites came to the surface with comments which would come as they would from us. This is bizarre. They're not going to be scared of us doing this. But credit to them, when Joshua gave the order to shout, they shouted and the wall collapsed and every man charged straight into the city. And that is so incredible. So perhaps here today we can get a hallelujah. I wonder if those impossible situations, some perhaps very personal ones to us, could yield, could be resolved, if we adopted Joshua's attitude. He listened to God's plan. He took off his sandals because he realised he was on holy ground, listening to God's message. We are always mentally on the go, perhaps even when we open God's word, especially so when we accept that God is speaking to us. Joshua obeyed God's plan strictly, despite the fact they must have seemed very strange. But God's ways are seldom man's ways, are they? I'm reminded of a true story about a man who was faced with what to him was an impossible situation. He had come to the end of his tether, and he could see no way out. In despair, his wife contacted a minister friend she knew and outlined the dire circumstances. Responding to the cry for help, the minister arrived to find the man as desperate as the wife had said. The circumstances were so difficult, and the man was hardly coherent and in effect asked, as Joshua had asked at the sight of the man standing before him, "Who are you? What are you doing here?" And with the sword in his hand, this being for the minister the word of God, they stood on holy ground, and the man listened to God's plan for his life, and the walls came tumbling down. The barrier the man had built could no longer defy God's words, and he accepted Jesus as his Lord and Saviour. His wife rejoiced in her husband's peace, and their sons were amazed at the transformation. Does that sound too good to be true? Do you have impossibilities which right now you're thinking, if only that could happen for me? I'm sure that when Joshua saw the problem that was ahead for him, he could well have thought it was truly impossible. He could not have thought of a way of resolving it, and certainly not the way which God gave him. Could the problems we face give way to such a miraculous solution? Allow me just to add to the story of the man in despair I've shared with you. Where is he today? What sort of life does he have now? That man is one of God's ministers himself, serving a congregation whose needs with which he can personally identify. And every time he enters the pulpit, he stands with a drawn sword, the open word of God, and the congregation know they are on holy ground. As we're here today, opening the word of God, let us be aware we are on holy ground and remember that God said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand. It's done. The answer to your problem, God has already given. And it is so not just for Joshua. It is for us. All we have to do is to claim it. And what's more, God doesn't just barely answer our prayers, he answers in abundance. The man to whom I refer had the joy of seeing his mother, his wife, his sons, his brother, and his sister-in-law claiming Jesus as their saviour, and the miracle of seeing his son also becoming a minister. Dear friends, if your problems seem impossible right now, you are on holy ground. Believe God has heard your prayers and claim the answer as we pray now together. Dear God, here before you in reverence on this holy ground, we bring to you our problems, which seem impossible for us to resolve, and from your word would learn the wisdom of relying on your ways. Assure us, we ask, of your willingness to apply to our situations your omnipotence, and for our willingness to accept the way you can and will answer even those problems which we feel are beyond us. And this we ask in the precious and worthy name of Jesus. Amen.